You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, I know you've been meaning to put together a budget, because of course we all have to do that. There's no doubt about that. And in budgeting, we have to remember one pretty basic fact, don't we? Don't spend more money than you make, because that winds up in Lori Campbell's milieu. She is the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. And Lori, welcome back, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Dale.
Lori, you every day talk to people who are so far over their heads in debt, you can barely see the hole they're standing in.
It's true. And, you know, one of the commonalities of people coming in here is when we ask them to take a look at their spending or where their money's going, outflow, whatever you want to call it, budget, a lot of them really have no idea. And it's very hard for them to actually start to put numbers around where they spend their money.
But when you, if you don't have the so-called budget and you just spend via plastic, it is very easy to lose sight of your current financial situation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's very easy to lose sight of it. It's very easy to think that, you know what, you're managing okay. People somehow think they are managing okay because, well, you know, there's still cash flow to a certain degree when you're using credit cards. You still have access to money. The problem lies, of course, when the credit cards are maxed out, the interest is too much to even begin to pay every month, and therefore they fall behind. And they have to start looking at, okay, what is their real cash flow, and where are they actually spending their money? It's a bit of a wake-up call for them, and it is very difficult at that point to rein everything in.
Yeah.
And try to work on a very tight budget.
TransUnion had some interesting debt-related information it released, didn't it?
Did. This came out just today, and
yeah.
The report is really suggesting that, saying, for as a matter of fact, that, you know, debt is at the highest level it's been in nearly a decade today, and that the problem with it is it's non-mortgage debt. And this is where we get a little bit frightened, Dale, because, you know, we consider mortgage debt to be fairly good debt, right? You know, you're working toward home ownership.
Right. You've got something to back up the debt. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got an asset there. But this, the problem here, it is non-mortgage debt, so it is unsecured debt, and the level is now over $26,000, and to me that seems like a huge number.
That's per what? Per household or per person?
Per household.
Per household, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The concern is, as far as I'm concerned, or, you know, it's the average consumer, so it must be per person from what I'm seeing on this.
Maybe it is per person, yeah.
Yes, it must be. Yeah. And here's the thing. If you've got non-mortgage debt, you're paying so much more in interest. We're talking credit card debt. We're talking overdraft debt. Payday loans, they're saying that payday loans are up significantly. Well, payday loans are, you know, 60% interest.
Yeah, that's right.
Huge amount of money.
Yeah, that's right. So that brings us back to what we had intended to talk about today, and that's developing the budget, a budget. Is it still fair to say most people do not do that?
Unfortunately, I'd say the majority of people do not work within a very specific budget. I think there's attempts made, and my personal opinion after the many years I've been here at Credit Canada is that people get trapped into thinking that it's like a diet. They think that they have to follow this budget so strictly that they can't spend a cent out of it here or there and get discouraged and give up.
It's a spending diet. That's really what it is, isn't it?
I mean, it is, and everybody hates that word, right?
Well, it's true, but I mean, is it fair to say that the people who do not budget, I mean, I guess we think automatically of people of modest means, not a lot of money, but but it would also be fair to say, wouldn't it, that people who make a lot of money also don't budget and get into trouble?
Well, yeah, sometimes, but you know, I'm always fascinated by the fact that a lot of people that I know who have fairly good, I'd say great income levels and no debt, they budget.
Yeah.
They budget. I'm thinking, well, what? You don't probably need to budget. Oh, no, of course. We stick
How
to
do you
it.
Think they got there?
Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, it's same old adage. It's not, you know, it's not what you make, but what you do with that money and how you actually ensure that you keep your wealth.
Yeah. Now, you sent me some tips so we could have this conversation today, and you've numbered them, and so I want to go through them so I don't miss any of your advice from a very cheap person. Is that fair to say?
Some would say.
Okay, all right. Sounds like you too. All right, the number one point is here, a reminder to us all. Know how much money you have coming in. Well, that should be fairly simple, don't you think?
It is fairly simple. A lot of people have deductions that they may not need to have, or they may not be putting enough money in income tax where they need to be putting it in. So make sure you know what, how much money is coming in, and is it the appropriate amount based on your tax bracket and your deductions and everything else. A lot of people have part-time jobs, or they're on contracts, so they have, you know, a very odd cash flow situation, so they're not really aware of the revenue stream that they have.
Yeah, not everybody gets a paycheck once or twice a month.
Exactly, and that's becoming, you know, we're finding more and more people are self-employed or have two, three part-time jobs.
And you can easily lose track then of how much money's coming in, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. But more important, well, that's important. You got to know how much money you've got to deal with, but by the same token, you've got to be able to effectively track your expenses.
Exactly. Like, and what we talk about here is that, you know, you should spend without changing any of your habits, because people tend to change habits when the light shone upon them. Without changing any of your habits, track your expenses honestly for 1 month. And I mean, okay, don't not write down that coffee because it was only one coffee. Write down every expense you have. And we have these little budget tracker booklets we give out for free in the tens of thousands every year for people to do just that. That way, at the end of a month or two of doing this, you have a fairly good idea of where your expenses lie, because only by doing that are you able to effectively make changes within those expenses, because you know where your money's going.
Well, I did it just for fun a month or so ago, just on coffee. It's an incredible amount of money.
It's going to a place called, it starts with an S. I won't say anything more than that.
Yeah, well, there are differently priced coffees. There's no doubt about
that's
that.
That's right,
but
yeah.
The point is that when you add it up and you say, okay, that's the monthly cost for item A, it can be a fairly jolting amount of money.
Outstanding amount of money. And you know, that's the problem is that people do fritter away their money far too often, me included. So I'm aware of how easy this can happen. You know, you get a couple, you know, $20, I used to say, or now it's like $40 out of the cash machine one day, and the next day you're going over through your mind, why do I only have $2.40 left?
You know? Yeah, that's
you're trying to figure out what happens to the rest of it. And a lot of times you can't even go back to figure what you did with it.
No, that's exactly right. But the number one thing we have to remember to do, I guess we have to remember to do this, you can't really, well, over a longer period of time, you can't spend more than you make.
You cannot spend. It's as simple as that. Every single financial plan, no matter how simplistic or how complicated it is, no matter what business you're running, personal finances or a business, a company, you always cannot spend more than you make. If you do that on a regular basis, you're going to be in hock. You're going to be in a situation where you're bankrupt at some point.
We can't do what governments do.
We cannot. Yeah, we cannot. Because we can't make money.
That's, nobody.
You know, we cannot make money.
Well, not legally. No.
Not legally. No,
no. That's true. But I mean, but then there are reasons to go into debt. I mean, as you say, the so-called good debt of a mortgage. There are certainly reasons to do that. But are you saying that essentially no one should ever go into credit card debt? They should always pay every month. Stay current.
I strongly believe if you're going to have a good spending plan, a good budget, a good financial plan, you should never be paying interest on credit cards, ever. That is not a good financial plan under any circumstance. I understand emergencies. That's why we have an emergency fund.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, things come up. But it is a high form of interest. And if you're only paying the minimum payment on credit cards, you're paying up to three times as much for that purchase or product. And people need to be very clear on why they're spending money in that way. There's lots of other options. If you have to use your line of credit, it's a lot cheaper for sure. But it's all about, you know, having some foresight, having a budget, having an emergency plan in place, and having some goals set so that you can get out of a situation if you are in credit card debt and try to avoid it in the future.
Well, it's so much. I mean, it's great to use the convenience of the credit card, but if you don't pay it off every month. There are some expenses that would be interesting to track. Track your monthly interest that you're paying on credit cards.
Yeah, and this is what happens with clients coming in. When we start going through a budget, we say, well, okay, if you didn't have your debt, you'd actually have great cash flow. You know, you make $3,000 net a month, and your expenses are $2,400. You actually have $600 in the good, but their minimum payments on those credit cards, and we're talking people have tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt in credit cards, could be $1,000 a month. So you see they're in the hole every month because of that.
So if somebody comes to you with a situation and they're of normal income, not a whole lot of money, not a extremely small amount of money, and they're $20,000 or $30,000 in credit card debt, how surprised are you?
Not surprised. I hate to say it. When you see the TransUnion study that shows the average amount of unsecured debt is $26,000, we see this every day. In fact, we're seeing much higher, unfortunately. But the reality of it is, if you've got $20,000 in credit card debt of an average of 18%, well, you know, you're looking at huge amounts of money in interest every year.
What would that roughly be, I wonder?
It's like over $3,500 in interest a year. $3,500 in interest a year.
Of after-tax money, your money.
Exactly.
$3,500, roughly speaking.
And if you're only making that minimum payment, it's not going to be much different than that, because the minimum payment's usually around 2%, 3% tops, which so that's 20%, that's 0.2%, if the interest is 18%, it's 0.02% that's going towards the actual, amount outstanding as opposed to the interest.
Okay.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Laurie Campbell is here giving out some great budgeting advice. If you have a question about it, give us a call at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Now, Laurie, if you're really going to seriously try to attack this, no matter how much money you make in any given week, month, or year, is it really one budget you're talking about, or is it two budgets, a budget for every day and a budget for long-term purposes? Or does that all belong in one?
You can do it either way. Ideally, it belongs in one, because you need to take your long-term purchases and divide it over 12 months. Let's say it takes you 12 months to, or let's say a long-term purchase is $1,000. Well, take that $1,000 if you only need it once a year, divide it over 12 months. Let's say it's clothing or whatever.
Yeah.
And fit that into the monthly budget, because you get paid, you're looking at your income on a monthly basis. You kind of have to look at your expenses on a monthly basis as well. So it does take a little bit of tackling, but you can also put that money into an emergency fund or a savings fund aside if you don't have to make that purchase on a monthly basis.
And are you also a fan of, in terms of when you're developing this budget, you have to monitor it as well, because you may have a budget and you may slip off it from time to time. Are you a fan of being able to, say, check your credit card balance online at any given hour of the day or night, so you can monitor very closely what's going on?
I'm a big fan of that. I'd say check it daily if you have to. I think it's so important. You know what? I think the problem with credit cards is it doesn't feel like money. I think by checking it online and actually seeing how much you owe makes you think twice about the purchases you make in the future. So I believe check it online and make payment. You know, you don't have to make your payment once a month. Make it every time you get paid.
If you've got the money and you've checked online, you don't need anything. You just click on it and pay it.
Exactly. And in that way, you have a better sense of control. I think one of the things that happens to people that are in debt or that are not have a good handle on their expenses and where their money's going is they feel a loss of control. And that's a bad feeling.
Maybe if we tended more towards, what do we used to call that stuff? Oh, yeah, cash. Is it easier to control a budget if you deal in cash?
Well, I personally think, yes, there's no doubt it's easier to control a budget. The problem in today's world is that nobody likes to walk around with a wad of cash.
Yeah.
Me included, so I kind of get that myself. I mean, you just feel kind of, it's a weird feeling. In the old days, you had a couple hundred dollars on you, you didn't feel bad. But now you kind of feel a bit vulnerable walking around with huge amounts of cash on you. So cash is still king in my book, especially for people that find that they don't control plastic well. And when I talk about plastic, I'm also talking, Dale, about debit cards, because with debit cards, you can go and spend and spend and spend, and you still don't know your balance, and you go to check your bank account, and suddenly you're in the $1,000 overdraft.
Well, and especially when you use cards and you flash them here and there for little purchases, and you make a gazillion little purchases in a given month, and you can, I would think, easily lose track of that as well unless you check.
Yes, it is a continuous problem for people, and a lot of people have overdraft on their accounts just for that purpose. But the unfortunate reality is that people live in overdraft, and there's another very expensive form of debt, because overdrafts are around 21% interest.
It's
not cheap.
Yeah, as bad, and worse in fact than the original regular interest of 18. It's even worse.
Exactly. Yeah, it's even worse than using your credit card. You don't have a grace period either. So something to think about.
We're the bank, and we're doing you a big favor. We're giving you overdraft protection, but we're going to charge you like a mad bull.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here's Brian calling from East York. Brian, do you have a question for Lori? Whoops, I guess I better pop you up. Hi, Brian. Have you got a question for Lori?
Yeah, it's more of an observation here. But,
yeah. Okay.
Okay, Lori, I just received my statement for my credit card last month.
Mm-hmm.
And my purchases are $1,086.46.
Right.
Now, further down, I have my minimum payment due each month is $23.77.
Yeah.
Then you get your magnifying glass out and you look a little further down, and it says, at your current rate of interest, it will take you, if you pay the minimum payment every due date, which is every month, it will take me approximately 20 years and 5 months to pay off this balance.
I laugh, but it's horrible,
now,
isn't it?
Yeah. Dale and I are the same age, so at least 20 years from now, I'll have it paid off.
I'll be able to retire.
I'll be able to read the next statement, probably.
Well, you know, and I love the fact that you're able to notice that.
My point is, if that isn't a wake-up call to somebody, I don't know what the heck is.
Well, it sure is, Brian.
Is it in small print?
Oh, well, it's smaller than the rest. You know?
Yeah.
Like your charges are in much larger print than the current rate part.
Yeah, I don't know how that slipped back. I thought when this was originally announced by the government itself to compel credit card companies to do that, it was supposed to be predominantly printed on there.
No, not on my statement.
Not on your statement.
That predominant part didn't seem to happen.
It didn't.
The only part that is very predominant is the charges I put down.
Yeah, well,
they're really large. They stand out and kind of stare you right in the eye.
Do you pay off every month if you can?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good man.
I told you, I phoned you once before. I bought a suit at Simpson's about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I paid $180, two pair of pants, vest, everything.
Yeah.
That suit I figure by the time I paid it off with my Simpson card, it only cost me $8,000. And actually, the one good part, I could still put the pants on anyway. The jacket got a little shrunk.
Thank you very much, Brian. Do people even know that that little government-imposed, government-suggested heavily a feature is on your credit card bill?
No, most people don't know. And it's really, I think Brian's being generous to say that it's in smaller print. It's really hard to find. In fact, a lot of times it's not even on the first page.
Oh, it isn't?
No, so you may have
I thought it. I thought in the beginning that it was on the front page, and it kind of slipped into the back pages a bit. Maybe that happened.
Yeah, I think that the legislation's pretty murky about where and how big this has to be, and the creditors in their wisdom decided to make it less conspicuous.
Well, because it sure is compelling. If you owe a whole wad of cash and you look down and, you know, you're having trouble with money that particular month and you look down to the box that says minimum payment due, it looks pretty attractive to pay the $50 or whatever and carry that debt over for another month.
Yeah, then you feel like you have a sense of relief. You don't have to worry about it for a while, right?
I've staved off my creditors for at least another month. That's the kind of feeling you get.
I can worry about everything else.
Yeah, that's right. I've kept the wolf from the door at least for a small period of time.
Yeah, and the consequences is as you. I mean, look how much Brian's suit cost him. Those are the consequences.
$1,000. Boy, that's expensive. Even that's a pricey suit even today.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. When somebody comes to you in debt trouble and you try to get them back on an even path. Obviously, budgeting is something that you're telling them about every single day that they're attending your sessions. Isn't that fair to say?
For sure, yeah. And, you know, we look at it as a lifestyle change. When budgeting doesn't have to be a horrible thing, just like dieting doesn't have to be a horrible thing. You're looking at how you're going to manage your money over a lifetime. And it means making decisions. I mean, for example, it may mean people coming in here, they may be spending $10 a day on lunch. Okay,
yeah.
Well, you're going to have to bring your lunch every day from now on, or
yeah,
every second day, or whatever the case may be. Then if you fit that into your lifestyle, then you don't think about it as because people think budgeting is they're having to sacrifice. But if you put it into your lifestyle, it becomes a routine thing for you. It doesn't feel like such a horrible loss, and the gain is much greater. It's the same with dieting. If you look at the health benefits of the decisions you make in what you eat, it can be a lifestyle change.
Well, even if you took all that money that you saved bit by bit and put it into a tax-free savings account or something, where you could really see that the money was, that you were making money because of all the effort you put into budgeting.
Yeah, and people need to have something tangible out of it. I understand that. So maybe that money goes towards a vacation, it goes towards something new for the house, whatever the case may be, so that you feel like you're getting something out of it. I think that's important, too, to have some small wins, because if you don't have small wins within your budget, you feel like, well, this is just a whole bunch of pain and no gain.
What am I doing this for is what you're going to wind up saying to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Here's Pam on the line from Burlington. Pam, do you have a question for Lori?
Well, I wanted to tell you that I went bankrupt after having too many credit cards.
Yeah.
I was earning about $50,000 a year, but now I'm just a pensioner.
Yeah.
And I've gone down the drain. And so I got rid of, they were taken from me, you know.
Yeah.
And the best idea is to have an 18-column account book where you put in there your deposits and about 18 columns of what you spend all your money on. It could be food, it could be your car or whatever.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised what comes out of that.
When you got into trouble in the first place, I assume you were not budgeting? Is that...
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't really. I mean, the money was coming in, it was going out.
Yeah.
Most of the time I was giving it away. I put my son into business two or three times.
Yeah.
And I went bankrupt. He went bankrupt, you know.
Oh, my.
But, I paid off his creditors with my RSP, which is a stupid thing to do, you
well,
know.
Well, you do what you do. You do what you do for your family, you know.
But
in any event, do you budget now?
Oh, I do.
You do? You've got that 18-column book, huh?
Absolutely, and I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what's coming in, I know what's going out.
So,
I bet you feel so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. I mean, I've had to downsize. You know, I'm in a senior residence now. But, you know, I'm so happy. I couldn't be more happier. I don't do all the entertaining I used to do. I don't, give out as much. And, I give. I still give when I can. But I couldn't be happier, really.
Well, Pam, that's a wonderful way to end your story. Thank you very much for the call. Maybe people in situations like that, and Lori, you must see this, actually are in fact happier if they're not surrounded by quite so much money.
Yeah, simplicity that you get out of not crowding your environment with stuff and clutter and chaos, which often results when you've got all these multiple cards going on, all these bills coming in at different times, all the stuff you keep purchasing that is causing you a lot of financial stress. So, the one thing that we hear over and over again here is that their life is simpler. It's more controlled. They feel like they've got a handle on things, which has greatly improved their sense of well-being.
There's a lot, I would think, there's a lot of happiness, potential or otherwise, in control. I mean, if you can say of your life, I'm in control, and if it's financial control, that's happy-making, don't you think?
It is. You know, one of the things we hear all the time, every single client almost that comes in says, I can't sleep.
Yeah.
I can't function properly. I'm fighting with my partner or my spouse. And that's a lack of control, right? If you are not getting good sleep, because you have no peace of mind. You've lost control of your situation. You're arguing with your partner, your spouse about your financial, predicament. And the list goes on and on. So gaining control back has all these wonderful benefits that allow you to move forward in your life and actually feel like you are at peace.
It gives you the kind of independence that you dream of if you won the lottery.
Exactly.
In a way.
You don't have to win the lottery. That's a good point, Dale. Everyone wants to win the lottery, but you don't necessarily have to win the lottery to feel like you've gained some control back.
Laurie, all the lines here are jammed with questions for you. Can you stay a couple of more minutes?
Of course.
You okay? All right.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Let me I'll remind you of the numbers in case you get an opportunity to call in. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. They're full now. But you could try, and you just might get through.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Laurie Campbell is here, CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. Got a lot of calls here. Let's go to Richard from Hamilton. Richard, you have a question?
No, I don't, Dale. I just got a statement. I had about five or six credit cards at one time, and I was up to my neck in payments, and I managed to pay them off by paying the largest sum on the lowest and worked my way up, rolling the until I got them paid off. And when I got them paid off, I got rid of all the cards and never looked back. And I went back to the old adage my father used to tell me, if you can't afford it, save for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah. Yeah, the good old days.
The good old days, yeah.
To save up for something. But, you know, again, another example of the peace. It sounds like a lot of peace of mind once you were able to resolve that issue.
Yeah, you're a happier man now because of it, aren't you, Richard?
The only debt I have is the mortgage and my car. That's the only two major debts. And if, like I say, if I can't afford it, I save up for it.
Thanks very much for that, Richard. Yeah, the mortgage, that's fair. And I guess that's the next most expensive investment many of us make, a car. I guess being in debt for a car is not the end of the world.
Well, it's not the end of the world, but we have to remember it depreciates so much. You know, you buy a car one day and you go to try to sell the next, you know, you've already lost $5,000.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, cars are expensive to operate. Yeah. They are so expensive to operate. And, you know, we have to keep these things in mind. Is it a need or is it a want? Can you get by without it? I mean, a lot of people can't, and I recognize that, but it doesn't mean you have to buy the latest model off the lot.
You may not need the leather seats is what I'm
thinking.
The
leather seats or the surround sound.
Yeah, all right, okay. Here's Fitz calling from Kleinberg. Fitz, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes. A question for Laurie?
Yes, go ahead, please.
How does our per capita debt compared to that of the U.S.?
Ah, okay. Laurie?
That's an excellent question. There was a time about a year ago where we started to see that the debt level in Canada was starting to approach the debt level in the U.S. Now, what we talk about is that for every dollar coming in, there's a certain amount in debt. So in Canada right now, for every dollar a person makes, they owe over $1.50. Let's say $1.52.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the U.S., at the height of their problems, and we're talking about when they were really melting, for every dollar they made, they owed $1.65.
Wow.
They have since brought that down exponentially. And Americans have actually brought their savings rate up to surpass our savings rate. So I would suggest that their debt level to ours is probably not much more.
We should be concerned. Yeah, that's right. In other words, we're gaining in an area we don't want to be gaining in.
You don't have any specific figures.
Well, do they have the same kind of debt-to-income ratio stat? Maybe they don't, Laurie.
Yeah, so debt-to-income ratio, their debt-to-income ratio would be probably about a dollar. It's sitting less than $1.60 right now, probably no more than $1.55.
Okay, so they would be marginally a bit higher, but we're gaining on
marginally,
them.
Marginally, and we're gaining
well,
on
we're
them.
Gaining, yeah, and they're
now
coming down.
They've got good housing sales for the last, I think, record for the last 2 years, and their savings rate has surpassed ours.
Okay, thank you very much, Fitz. Here's Linda in Niagara Falls. Linda, what would you like to say to Laurie?
Oh, yes. Good morning. It's Lydia from Niagara Falls.
Lydia. Hi, Lydia.
Hello. I was just wondering, my husband went for a line of credit, and he was denied, stating that he had a debt, a car loan, and also a Capital One credit card debt, which we have a card which is dual. And they say that he's the one who's responsible for it, not me. Is this so, even though that the card isn't, I'm the primary card holder?
You're the primary card holder?
Yes, and I've never used the card once. And
the information they have is incorrect then, because if he's the one who applied for the credit card, and you've got a secondary card, I'm assuming.
No, I'm the one who applied for the card.
You're the one who applied for the card, and he has a secondary card.
Yes, and it shows on all the statements he's the one that racked up this $10,000 debt. And when he went for the line of credit, he was denied because they said, well, we see you have a car loan and you have a $10,000 credit card debt.
Yeah, well, his name's on that account,
it's
right?
It's a joint card because his name is on there.
If both names are on, you're both responsible, right?
Yes. I don't know that they're saying he's solely responsible because both names are on. It wouldn't put it this way. If you're not able to pay it, he does become responsible.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
because let's say you decide that you're going to – let's say you went bankrupt.
Right.
He is responsible for that $10,000 then.
Okay.
So unfortunately, that is the reality that you're facing when it comes to that type of, and this is one of the things I always try to warn people. It's not great to get joint cards and things like that for that reason specifically.
Which I learned.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Thank you.
Is there any way that I could get this in writing or anything like that he is going to be responsible for it?
You have to contact Capital One about that to see if they would provide anything ready. It's common knowledge, though. This is not something
pretty
that
standard
is
practice. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks, Lydia. Here's Olivia. Last call, Olivia from Hamilton. What would you like to say, Olivia?
I just have a comment. We were talking about paying off the minimum $5 or whatever, and it would take you 20 years.
Yeah.
That's if you don't put anything more on the card.
Yeah, that's it. You could run it up to 35 years maybe, right?
Exactly. The more you put on, then the longer it'll be.
It's true. It can become a revolving door.
Yes, exactly. But people think, oh, it's only the $18,000 or something. It'll take me 20 years to get rid of that. But then they forget about putting more on.
Now, does this mean you noticed that little box on your bill?
Oh,
you saw that,
I check it every month.
Yeah.
And thank goodness I'm able to pay mine off every month.
Well, that's it. So
I didn't pay for once because I was over in Ireland, and it was $53 or some interest I paid for the 1 month.
Ouch.
That shook me up.
Well, No, it can certainly mount up. Thanks very much, Olivia. Yeah, we need these little reminders, I think, from time to time. Okay, I said last call. I lied. One last call. Eva from Markham. Eva, do you have a question for Lori?
Yes, I just want to know what you would think of someone who goes and open like credit cards from the different financial institution, and they just take cash advances.
Oh.
They just take cash advances, and then they pay the minimum from a line of credit.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think of someone? And that's a person who works in, like, fraud department with the bank.
It's just not a good, as we mentioned
that's
earlier,
a really
it's
bad
a horrible
idea.
Financial plan. Because when you take a cash advance, the interest starts the moment you take it. So that day. Unlike a credit card where if you use it at a department store or a purchase, you have a bit of grace period. So you're paying interest from the day. The interest is usually higher on cash advances because that's the way they work. And to use your line of credit to pay off the minimum, it means that you're just getting yourself in further and further hawks.
Oh, man.
And it's a house of cards, literally a house of cards that's going to fall. It's a horrible plan.
Well, it means that there's a plan that can easily end in bankruptcy, wouldn't you think?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. Eva, do you know somebody like that?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, okay.
A close friend.
Yeah, it's not a good, it may seem like a fun idea right now, but it's not going to work over time.
Eva, I think you already knew the answer even before you asked, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Well, do what you can to try to convince them to change that habit, all right?
Okay.
Okay,
yeah, good
bye-bye.
Luck.
All right, thank
all
you.
Right.
Take care.
Yeah.
Okay,
bye.
I mean, many, and I bet Eva's friend maybe even knows that this is trouble. People, I don't know, we have this kind of blindness about debt from time to time.
I think it's a bit of desperation as well. You think, well, it's already bad anyway.
Don't tell me about how much I owe, you know? You cover your ears.
Yeah, it's already bad anyway. What am I going
to
do?
And so all I want to do is survive from month to month. But man, oh man, it'll catch up with you. There isn't any way around it.
That's exactly true.
Well, time has caught up with us. Thank you very much, Lori, once again, for all your great advice.
Oh, thanks again for having me on, Dale.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you take care.
All right, you too now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lori Campbell, CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They handle people with debt problems when nothing else has worked and you've got bill collectors calling you day and night. You call Credit Canada Debt Solutions, and they can help.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.